Well, good morning, everyone. Here we are in December already, as Jonas says, and the second Sunday of Advent. And time seems to tumble by so fast at this time of year as we rush towards Christmas with all the events and all the preparations, all the expectations that we have. And with our sights set on Christmas, it's so very easy for us to miss noticing Advent. And a friend of ours who we were at college with said recently that Advent can be like the doormat we trample on as we rush through the door to Christmas. And I think that he's so right. But this morning, as we did last week, we have the opportunity to pause and to notice what Advent is all about before we get to Christmas. And it's so worth noticing, because of the great themes of Advent bring us to the heart of some of the most important and profound questions that we have as human beings. Questions like, who am I? What am I for? Do I matter? What about all the awful stuff that happens? What about suffering? Will it ever end? And what happens when I die? Is this all there is? Is there any point? Is there any hope? Do you recognise those kind of questions? Do I feel like I'm hearing them around me in different forms all the time at the moment? Sometimes in words, sometimes through tears. Sometimes they're whispered in a hospital bed. And sometimes they're shouted in anger. Or sometimes just visible in the shuffle of feet and the slump of shoulders. But here, if we truly enter into the spirit of Advent, it's as if God reaches out his hand to us and he says, let me show you. Let me show you that you matter. Let me show you how to live. Let me show you that there's something much bigger going on. Let me show you that there is every reason for hope. Our reading that Jenny read us from Romans ended with the words, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Overflow with hope. That's an amazing thing. And Advent matters so much because it can root us in that hope that comes from the God of hope. And that matters so much because we live in a world that is desperate for hope. And as God's people, we can carry hope into the world. So I want to spend a bit of time this morning looking at what that hope is about, where it comes from, so that we might become more and more people of hope. And to do this, I'm going to focus on three different aspects of Advent. The first aspect is the most obvious, and that is to do with the fact that Advent is about coming, since that's literally what the word means. Those of you who were here last week will remember Marion talking about this helpfully. And we're invited in these weeks of Advent to remember and to prepare to celebrate the first coming of Jesus to this earth. To look back in wonder to that point in history when the almighty, awesome, powerful Creator God smuggled himself into our world as a tiny, dependent, newborn baby. Just to let ourselves be hit again by just how mind-blowing that is. That God himself risked himself and he came humbly and vulnerably, not forcing us to recognise him, not asserting his right to be worshipped or demanding to be served, but to be Emmanuel, God with us, and to show us in Jesus what God is truly like. And we heard in our gospel reading from Matthew, John the Baptist saying of Jesus, after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. Or in Mark's gospel, it says, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. We too are not worthy to come close to him, not even to stoop down and to take off his sandals. He is the awesome, holy God. But our God is not a God who keeps his distance. And in Jesus, we see him revealed as a God of compassion and love who comes to meet us in the pain and the mess of our lives. A God who comes to serve, not to be served. A God who comes to give his life for us so that we might have life and we might have hope. What a contrast there is there between John the Baptist's statement about Jesus and the picture that we get of Jesus himself stooping down to wash his disciples' feet at the Last Supper. This is what our God is like, full of love, full of humility, giving himself to us and then dying for us. That's how much we matter. That's how much we are loved. And as we remember and we prepare to celebrate the first coming of Jesus through this Advent, the message is loud and clear for each of us. Yes, you do matter. Yes, you are loved. And in that first coming of Jesus to earth, we not only see the signs of God's amazing love for us, but also the signs of what happens when God's kingdom comes and his will is done. Something we pray for all the time when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We heard John the Baptist preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And Jesus used the same words when he started his ministry. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And what does that kingdom look like? Well, Jesus tells John the Baptist later, the blind see, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. All these things are more as signs of the kingdom of heaven coming near, signs that can bring us hope. So Advent invites us to look back to the first coming of Jesus and the signs of the coming of the kingdom of heaven. And at the same time, we're invited to look forward to the second coming of Jesus at some point in the future. And the Bible makes it very clear that there will be nothing hidden or subtle the second time around. When Jesus comes again, all the imagery is awesome and dramatic, and we're told it will be unmissable. Every eye will see him, every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow before the King of Kings. And when he comes again, he'll establish his kingdom in all its fullness, not just a few signs, but utterly and completely. Injustice will be overthrown. Evil will be destroyed. There'll be no more poverty or threat or oppression, no more crying or pain, no more suffering or death. Everything will be made new, and all will be well. Now, I don't know how much you think about the second coming of Jesus. It's definitely possible to think about it way too much and quite unhelpfully. You just have to look at some of the stories of different cults around the world to realise that. But I guess that most of us don't think about it enough. And it really matters because our hope is equally rooted in both comings of Jesus. And we need to keep both in focus. It's what I like to call two-eyed hope. I'll explain that. My grampy only had one eye and the other was a glass eye. Absolutely fascinated me when I was little, especially when I found his glass eye lying around sometimes. He could see, But with only one eye, his sense of perspective was impaired, much harder for him to get a sense of distance, and it reduced his field of vision. And if we focus on just one coming of Jesus, it's like we look with only one eye. But focusing on both of his comings equally, we can have a right sense of perspective and have our whole lives shaped by a hope that's rooted in the past and in the present and in the future. Jesus has come. Jesus is here by his Spirit, and Jesus will come again. So, firstly, Advent hope is rooted in the coming of Jesus. That's the first thing. But secondly, I want to suggest to you this morning that Advent hope is also about becoming. As we live in this time between the two comings of Jesus, we live with a kind of tension. And it's a tension that relates to the kingdom of heaven that I've talked about already. The fact that the kingdom of heaven is near, and we see and experience it, signs of it in us and around us, things like forgiveness and freedom, signs of healing and acts of justice and of mercy. But also at the same time, the fact that the kingdom is not yet here in all its fullness. And so we also live with lack of freedom and lack of healing and lack of justice and mercy. And we live with both the already here and the not yet here dimension of the kingdom of heaven. And we will until Jesus returns. And the Bible tells us that the whole of creation groans with longing, like in the pains of childbirth. The world is in the middle of a process that hasn't finished yet. And it's true for us as well. When we become Christians, the Bible tells us that we are born again. We're given a new identity as children of God, and we become a new creation, part of the kingdom of heaven. We are saved, healed, freed, and transformed. It's a done deal. But we don't experience it in all its fullness yet. And so at the same time, we're in the process of being saved, healed, freed, and transformed. It's a process of becoming, of entering into all that God has done for us and becoming all that he calls and enables us to be. As I was thinking about this week, I found part of the hymn Love Divine, All Loves Excelling going round in my head. It's the words from the beginning of the last verse. I think they'll be familiar to many of you. They say, finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless, let us be. Finish then thy new creation. We are unfinished creations. We're work in progress. I used to have a poster on my wall, a bit like this. I think it's going to come up. Be patient, God hasn't finished with me yet. I'm an unfinished creation of a bit more artistic merit than that. On the wall of Chartres Cathedral in France, has anyone been to Chartres Cathedral? It's an amazing place, isn't it? On the wall of that cathedral, there is a sculpture that shows God creating Adam. Now, I love this sculpture. A wonderful friend of ours, who was John's spiritual director for a while, called David Runcorn, introduced it to me. I hope you can see it. It may not be all that clear, but I'll try and describe it to you. So God is seated, and there's Adam, half emerged from the dust of the ground at God's feet. And Adam looks to me like he's slumped against God's knee. And you can see, or maybe you can see, he's clutching God's knee very tightly with his left hand. And his head is resting on God's lap. I think there's a close, there's his head resting on God's lap. And you see his head is being held tenderly by the hands of the Creator. And they look to me like they're gently and lovingly moulding and shaping. Because Adam in that sculpture is not yet a complete human being. He's halfway between non-existence and life, between dust and the image of God, between earth and heaven. And in a way, so are we. We're not complete new creations yet. We're not yet made fully whole. We're all in this process of becoming. And what God is wanting us to become is more and more like Jesus. And sometimes there can be real pain and struggle, even frustration in the process of becoming. We can get weary, disillusioned, or feel like we're going round and round in circles. But the voice of John the Baptist we heard this morning rings out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Prepare the way of the Lord." And maybe we need to hear that call again, to repent and to turn towards the things of the kingdom of heaven and to welcome God's work in our lives. Because we can't do it on our own, because we're not the creator. You know, we need the hands of the creator on us, shaping and moulding, like Adam in that sculpture. Some of you will know the song, "Spirit of the Living God, Fall Afresh on Me." It goes on to say, "Break me, melt me, mould me, fill me." And it's that kind of shaping and moulding that we need as we become more and more like Jesus. And in this becoming, there is hope and there is promise. Philippians 1 verse 6 says this, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God will complete the work that he started in us. He will not give up on us. He'll finish his new creation and we will be part of it. We'll be made whole. That is a promise. And ultimately, that promise will be fulfilled and the process completed, not in this life, but through our death and our resurrection. And that brings me to the third thing that I want to say about Advent and hope, which is that it's all about homecoming. Traditional Advent preaching topics are what's called the four last things. Do you know what they are? They're death, judgment, heaven and hell. That sounds great fun, doesn't it? Maybe next year. We don't talk about these things very much nowadays, but ultimately none of us can avoid the fact that we will all face death and that this world as we know it will come to an end. And Advent reminds us that this life and this earth is not all there is. This is not our true home. We are just passing through. As born again children of God, baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, as it said in our reading, heaven is our home. And one day, for each one of us, there will be a glorious homecoming. And when Jesus returns, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, or actually you may be more familiar with this from Handel's Messiah, someone will be, "At the last trumpet, we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, never to decay or die again. Death swallowed up in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Alleluia. Jesus' second coming will ultimately be our homecoming. And as the trumpet sounds, we will be raised with all who've gone before us in faith, and we will all go home. And then we will realise that this has all only been the very beginning. And I love the way that C.S. Lewis writes about this at the end of his last Narnia book, The Last Battle. So I'm going to quote him. And he says this, "Then they realised that all their life in this world had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. A glorious future lies ahead of us. We are children of promise, children of the day that's not yet fully dawned, but it is coming. We are children of the kingdom of heaven, and there is every reason for hope. And Advent can shape that hope deep within us. I'm beginning to see those bumper stickers around again that say a dog is for life, not just for Christmas. They've been around for many years, I think. I feel like saying Advent is for life, not just for Christmas. And I want to urge you to allow God to be shaping your heart and your soul with Advent hope this year, a hope that's rooted in the comings of Jesus, a hope that trusts that we are becoming whole, and a hope that knows that one day we will go home. So I'm going to pray for us all as I finish, using the words that we had in our Romans reading. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.